Hello and welcome to ARXiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ARXiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're digging into a paper called Proactive Mobile, a comprehensive benchmark for boosting proactive intelligence on mobile devices. It's a recent ARXiv contribution that bundles tasks, datasets, and metrics aimed at on-device proactive assistance.
Which is timely because teams are pushing more intelligence onto phones to save latency, protect privacy, and preserve battery life. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
Thanks, Alex. On the ground, I see three clear needs. First, apps are drowning users in notifications. Teams need better ways to trigger useful, timely suggestions instead of noise. Second, product owners want to move more personalization on device to avoid privacy and data transfer costs. Third, engineering teams need consistent ways to measure trade-offs, accuracy versus latency and battery, so they can justify shipping tiny models. A benchmark that focuses on proactive behaviors on real mobile constraints helps answer those questions before you ship to millions.
So Mark is saying teams need a practical yardstick to decide when a proactive feature is genuinely helpful and whether it's worth the battery and privacy trade-offs. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of benchmark showing up now?
Two reasons. One, the hardware and model tool chains have matured. Tiny transformers, quantization, and efficient runtimes make meaningful on-device inference possible. Two, previous benchmarks were either server-centric or task-siloed. There wasn't a unified suite that measures not just accuracy, but latency, energy, and user-facing proactive metrics together. This paper fills that gap, so researchers and engineers can evaluate models under realistic mobile constraints and compare trade-offs in a standardized way. At a high level, the paper is proposing a unified benchmark and evaluation suite specifically for proactive intelligence on mobile devices. That means a set of tasks, think proactive notification or event prediction, next action suggestion, context-aware suggestion generation, short-term intent prediction, plus curated datasets or simulated interaction traces and standardized device profiles. Importantly, they evaluate beyond just accuracy. The suite measures latency, energy use, model size, and user-facing proxies for usefulness or nuisance. For example, false positive notification rate, hit rate on suggested actions. The methodology combines running models on realistic device runtimes or accurate simulators, replaying user context traces, and reporting end-to-end numbers so you can see trade-offs in one place. Compared to prior work, this is broader. Past benchmarks were either server-focused, ignoring on-device constraints, or narrowly scoped to a single task. There are also ad hoc simulated user studies, but they're not standardized. This paper brings those elements together so researchers and engineers can benchmark tiny models, compressed models, and hybrid pipelines under consistent conditions. Practically, it's designed to plug into the development lifecycle at model selection, on-device testing, and pre-release evaluation. Pick candidate models, run the suite to measure accuracy versus latency versus energy, and choose the configuration that meets product SLAs.
So in plain English, they built a single test that asks, is the model correct? Is it quick enough? Does it drain the battery? And do users actually benefit? And it does that across simulated user flows and device types so teams can compare options apples to apples. Mark, what would that actually change for a product team?
Concrete change is decision speed and confidence. Right now, teams often rely on proxy tests, offline accuracy, plus a couple of lab runs. With a standardized benchmark, you can run repeatable tests that surface trade-offs early, which tiny model keeps latency under your threshold, which compression technique saves battery with acceptable drop in usefulness. That means fewer surprise regressions post-rollout, clearer gating criteria for releases, and a shared metric set between ML, mobile, and PM teams. It also reduces costly trial and error on real users because you can filter bad options before running A/B tests.
To add a technical detail, the authors include support for multiple device profiles and measure runtime with actual on-device runtimes or close hardware probes, plus synthetic user replay to approximate interaction patterns. They also provide baseline implementations, small transformers, distilled RNNs, and tooling to record energy and latency so you can quantify the trade-offs of model distillation, quantization, or a hybrid flow where an on-device trigger calls a server model only when needed.
Got it. So teams get realistic numbers about speed and battery on different phones, plus baselines to compare against. Mark, can you give a quick example of an immediate win a team might see using this benchmark?
Sure. A simple win. A messaging app evaluates a tiny on-device trigger for proactive reply suggestions. Using the benchmark, they find a compressed model that cuts inference latency in half and drops energy per inference significantly while keeping helpfulness high enough. That gives product and engineering the evidence to ship the on-device feature with confidence and to set concrete rollout criteria. For example, max 200 millisecond latency and a target false positive rate, all validated before exposing users.
If we applied it in a real team, Mark, what would that look like in practice? Walk us through a simple operational use case.
A simple, realistic case is a messaging app rolling out an on-device trigger for proactive reply suggestions. Instrumentation first. You need lightweight telemetry, anonymized timestamps, conversation metadata, sender, thread activity, screen state, and a few on-device model logs. Minimal dataset, a few thousand replayed interaction traces from opt-in users. For evaluation, run the benchmark locally to measure trigger precision, false positive rate, latency, and energy per inference. A/B test plan. Pick the top two candidate tiny models from the benchmark, roll to a small percent of users, measure engagement uplift and complaint disable rate. Quick success criteria could be max 200 milliseconds median latency, false positive rate under 5%, and energy per inference low enough to not increase daily battery drain meaningfully, plus a measurable lift in accepted suggestions.
So basically, collect small consented traces, run the benchmark to filter candidates, then do a targeted A/B with clear thresholds like 200 milliseconds and 5% false positives. Mark, now take us to a more advanced scenario.
In a more advanced setup, you run a hybrid pipeline. A compact on-device model acts as a reliable trigger and only when confident sends minimal context to a server-side model that personalizes the suggestion. Alternatively, you train a compressed model with distillation and quantization and compare it directly on device. Operationally, you need a signal policy, when to call home, privacy guards, strip PII, aggregate, and throttles to limit network and battery cost. Use the benchmark to simulate how often the on-device trigger fires and what fraction would need server personalization. That way you can estimate server load, latency tail, and end-to-end energy.
This is where the paper's mechanics shine. The benchmark includes tasks and simulated interaction traces that let you measure trigger precision and recall, plus metrics for server call frequency and end-to-end latency. It also collects runtime and energy profiles across device classes, so you can quantify the trade-off, how much personalization accuracy you gain per extra network call, and what that costs in energy and latency. You can run ablations, distilled versus non-distilled, quantized versus float, and produce Pareto fronts to choose the right trade-off for your product SLAs.
Exactly. Practically, you'd map benchmark outputs to decision rules. If on-device confidence score 0.8, show suggestion. If between 0.5 to 0.8, call server and wait or show a low confidence hint. M5, don't interrupt. The benchmark tells you how many events fall into each bucket so you can predict user exposure and server cost before any wide release. Then validate with a short A/B run to make sure simulated predictions match reality.
Jamie, how would a team use the benchmark to pick distillation or quantization levels? Can it really show the right point on the trade-off curve?
Yes. The suite runs the same tasks across multiple model variants and records accuracy, latency, model size, and energy. You generate a Pareto front. For example, a distilled 6M parameter model might lose 2 to 3% accuracy but cut latency by 50% and energy by 40%. Those concrete numbers let PMs and engineers choose a point that meets latency and battery budgets while accepting a quantified utility drop. The benchmark simulated user traces also help show the user-facing impact, like how many fewer helpful suggestions you'd deliver at each compression level.
From an org perspective, you'd operationalize this by adding nightly benchmark runs for candidate builds. and a pre-release gate that blocks configurations failing the SLA. Also, set up production monitoring for drift, compare live metrics to benchmark predictions, and trigger retraining or model tweaks when gaps appear.
Quick summary before we move on. The simple case is filtering models with small telemetry and short ABs. The advanced case is hybrid pipelines and compressed models with policy rules informed by benchmark outputs. Mark, Jamie, any final quick clarifications about rollout or measurement?
One quick note. Remember that benchmark simulations are realistic but not identical to every user's behavior. Use them to narrow choices and estimate costs, then validate with short, targeted experiments, and keep telemetry for continuous calibration.
And add one practical rule. Start conservative on thresholds in production and tighten as you gain confidence. The benchmark shortens the feedback loop, but real user validation is still essential.
Jamie, take us under the hood. What are the paper's technical prerequisites and assumptions for running this benchmark?
The paper assumes you can collect and replay lightweight device telemetry, timestamps, app foreground, background state, notification events, calendar and location signals when available, and simple interaction traces. On sensors, they don't demand exotic hardware, mostly system events, low-frequency location, and activity signals, but they assume those streams are present and can be anonymized for replay. For models, they evaluate small footprint families you'd actually run on phones, tiny transformers, distilled RNNs, LSTMs, and other compressed architectures, plus quantized variants. Runtime and energy measurement is explicit. Either run the model on device with an efficient runtime, like a mobile NAPI or TensorFlow Lite execution, or use close hardware probes, power models, to estimate energy per inference. Crucially, experiments replay user context traces in controlled hardware profiles, so latency and energy are comparable across runs.
So in plain terms, you need consented, minimal telemetry, and simulated user sessions. The benchmark expects tiny models like small transformers or LSTMs, and it measures both speed and battery using real runs or accurate probes on defined device types. Jamie, what limitations and future directions do the authors call out?
They're clear about a few things. First, device diversity. The paper uses a handful of representative device profiles, but real-world phones vary far more in CPU, memory, and power characteristics. Second, user variability and long-term personalization aren't fully captured. Replay traces are short-term and may not reflect evolving user behavior or cold start scenarios. Third, privacy-preserving training, federated learning, on-device continual learning, is noted as future work. The benchmark doesn't yet evaluate training pipelines that avoid centralizing data. Fourth, task coverage. The suite focuses on a set of proactive tasks, but doesn't cover every mobile use case, multimodal sensors, continuous streaming, or very long horizon planning. Finally, they warn that controlled hardware and simulated interactions mean results are realistic, but not identical to in-field performance. You still need short validation experiments with real users.
Put simply, the benchmark gives a realistic, repeatable lab picture, but it won't perfectly predict every phone or every long-term user. It also doesn't yet test privacy-first training methods or every possible proactive task. Mark, from an org and engineering standpoint, what does adopting this benchmark actually require?
Operationally, you need a few things. First, engineering effort to collect consented telemetry and produce replay traces, and an SDK or lightweight recorder to standardize that across platforms. Second, privacy and consent workflows, opt-in flows, data minimization, PII stripping, and clear retention policies. Third, a device lab or cloud device profiles to run on-device measurements, plus scripts to automate runtime and power measurements. Fourth, CI integration. Nightly benchmark runs for candidate models and pre-release gates that check latency, energy, and false positive thresholds. Fifth, monitoring and rollout strategy. Map benchmark outputs to production SLAs, start conservative with thresholds, do short targeted ABs to validate, and have rollback rules. Finally, staff and process changes. Mobile engineers, ML engineers, and PMs must align on the metrics the benchmark reports and how to act on them.
So teams need SDKs, consented trace collection, a device testing setup, CI gates, and clear runbooks tying benchmark numbers to rollout rules. Any quick practical tip, Mark, for interpreting benchmark results inside an organization?
Yes. Treat the benchmark as a decision support tool, not a ground truth. Use Pareto fronts it produces to pick candidates, then require short live validation windows before full rollout. Also, track drift. Compare live metrics to benchmark predictions and treat large gaps as triggers for investigation rather than immediate blame on the model.
The paper reports results across several curated datasets and simulated workloads, messaging and notification traces, short-term intent prediction logs, and next action suggestion scenarios replayed on device profiles. Primary metrics are accuracy F1 for prediction tasks, plus user-facing proxies like false positive notification rate and suggestion hit rate, and system metrics, median latency, tail latency, energy per inference, and model size. They compare small transformers, distilled RNNs, LSTMs, and quantized variants against server-side baselines. Key findings: distilled and quantized on-device models often reduce median latency by 30 to 60% and energy per inference by roughly 20 to 50% versus uncompressed baselines, while incurring modest drops in task accuracy, typically 1 to 4 percentage points. For hybrid pipelines, they show server call frequency can be cut substantially, sometimes by more than half, with a small end-to-end accuracy hit. Importantly, all experiments are in controlled hardware profiles with replayed traces, so the numbers are realistic but measured in a lab-style setting rather than across millions of live devices.
So Jamie is saying, in the lab they see big wins on speed and battery, think tens of percent, at the cost of a few points of accuracy, and hybrid setups can have server calls. But remember, those are controlled results on a handful of device profiles, not the wild diversity of the real world. Mark, given that, what should teams actually expect when they move to production?
Expect somewhat worse numbers in production. Device and network variability mean median latency can be 10 to 30% higher than lab figures, and tail latency matters for user experience. That's where complaints come from. Energy models in lab runs are useful for comparisons, but absolute battery impact will vary across OEMs and OS versions. Integration overheads, instrumentation, feature extraction pipelines, and privacy processing add latency and maintenance costs. Practically, use the benchmark to narrow candidates, but budget an extra safety margin. Tolerate another 1 to 3% accuracy drop and plan for higher latency tails until you optimize the pipeline. Also, set up monitoring to compare live metrics to benchmark predictions and be ready to roll back or tweak thresholds.
To add a technical nuance, the paper's energy and latency measurements are thorough. They run models on actual runtimes, TF-Lite NAPI, or calibrated probes, but they can't capture every OEM kernel difference or background load. Also, models show different sensitivity to quantization. Some architectures lose more accuracy when aggressively quantized, so you'll want to test several compression levels and check the Pareto front for your specific task.
So, in plain terms, use the benchmark to pick a shortlist. Expect a bump in latency and a slightly larger accuracy gap in the field, an instrument hard to catch those differences. Mark, wrap us up. Who benefits most from adopting this benchmark and under what conditions?
Mobile-first product teams benefit the most, especially messaging, personal assistants, and notification-heavy apps, because they directly trade latency, battery, and privacy for proactive value. Privacy-sensitive apps and startups focused on edge-first experiences also gain. The benchmark helps justify moving personalization on device. Conditions: you need consented telemetry and replay traces, a device testing setup or cloud device farm, CI to run nightly benchmarks, and alignment between ML, mobile, and product teams to act on the results. If your team can't collect minimal traces or lacks bandwidth for device testing, this is less useful. It's an investment, but one that pays off for products where latency, battery, or privacy are core constraints.
One quick research side point. Having a standard suite helps reproducibility. When teams publish Pareto fronts on the same benchmark, it's much easier to compare compression techniques, runtimes, and hybrid strategies rather than interpreting ad hoc lab numbers.
A final practical tip. Smaller teams without a full device lab can start with a few representative devices or use cloud device farms to approximate diversity. Run the benchmark nightly to detect regressions early and make the benchmark outputs part of your release gates. Start conservative on production thresholds and tighten them as you collect live telemetry.
In one sentence, this paper gives teams a practical, standardized way to measure the trade-offs of proactive, on-device models: accuracy, latency, energy, and user impact, so they can make evidence-based decisions before rolling features out. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotti.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcsiveLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.